Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In today's episode, we speak to Eliza Flynn, a pre- and postnatal personal trainer, health and wellness coach and speaker, and founder of The Warrior Method. She has worked with hundreds of women to improve their health and fitness, gain body awareness, and live active, pain-free lives. We talk about why it's good to exercise, the importance of repairing your body after having a baby, and what signs to look out for when exercising that might indicate that things are not right. And before we start, just a little disclaimer. Please note that the content in this episode is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. Please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. My name is Caroline Johansson, and you are listening to the podcast To Become a Mother. Welcome, Eliza. You are a pre- and postnatal personal trainer and founder of The Warrior Method, which specializes in training women for the challenges of motherhood. You're also mother to three boys, the youngest of which is only 4 weeks and with us in the studio today. And he's very cute. Before we get going about the specifics, I just wanted to take a step back and just talk about why it's good to exercise. So we all know that it is good to exercise, but what really happens in the body and the brain, and why as mums should we be taking the time and prioritize this?
There's so many reasons why sort of getting moving and exercise is really important. There are sort of all the happy hormones that get released. So you've got the dopamine and the endorphins. And I think that's something that you really need once you have a baby. And as well as that, it just gets the blood moving around your body a lot more. So as a new mum, especially if it's your first, you spend a lot of time just sitting or lying or hanging out in bed. And that's fantastic. And a lot of the times that is very much needed. But it's also very good for you to get up and get moving if you can. And that just gets all the blood going. It helps leave you feeling a bit more energized. It can kind of awaken your senses. And I think a lot of people can get stuck in this rut where they just sit and they just watch TV all day. And just moving around the house is incredible for helping you feel a bit more alive. And especially if you can get outside, I think that really helps, especially with mental health. It's good for our spirit. And there is something I think incredibly healing about fresh air as well. And also the more we kind of move, the more we focus a bit on our bodies and, you know, without even noticing it, you're regaining that strength and mobility that you can sometimes lose a bit during pregnancy and immediately after birth.
Yeah. And I know that you are advocating for repairing your body after birth instead of just jumping into your prenatal exercise routine. Can you explain a little bit more about this statement and why we can't just exercise like we did before when we've given birth?
Your body spends a long time, 9 months making a baby, and you put on a lot of extra weight during that time, which puts pressure on the pelvic floor. There's a lot of things that change in your body. There's different hormones that affect everything. So you get hormones in your body which can affect things like your ligaments and your joints. They make them a little bit more stretchy. So if you are then going to go and do some exercises, you could put yourself at additional risk of injury. Plus, you've been carrying around a lot of extra weight, especially around the pelvic floor. So regardless of whether you have a C-section or a vaginal birth, there is going to be some love and kindness that's needed towards your pelvic floor, because it will be stretched. It will have felt the effects of carrying all that weight. And if you do just jump straight back into exercise, especially if it's the exercise that you did before you were pregnant, then you could be putting yourselves, you know, several steps backwards in terms of actually regaining that fitness and the movement that you were used to.
Mm.
And the last thing anyone wants to be once they've had a baby is sort of injured. So taking that time just to restore the pelvic floor, the way you breathe also changes. The way, you know, your ribs might have been positioned might have changed as well. You'll also have a slightly different posture. The way that you stand during pregnancy will have changed almost how your muscles are used. So a lot of people will have sort of a lack of glutes. I don't know whether you ever noticed this, where you kind of have this like mum bum where your sort of bum almost just disappears.
Mm.
And that's because we favour our glutes less.
Like a clenched fist.
Yeah, kind of. But like a lot of people just lose the tone in their bum muscles because they're not using those muscles as much when they're pregnant. So you're kind of entering this postnatal period with a very different body from which you started before you got pregnant.
So when you're seeing a woman in your practice and she's come to you after giving birth, let's say vaginally, what would you say to her just from a concrete perspective? This is what you need to do to build yourself up. Can you explain a little bit how you structure it and how you go about that repairing?
Yes, absolutely. So there's one of the things that we start with, and that'll be a bit of a postnatal assessment.
Mm.
So we'll look at your posture, how you're standing, position of feet, and as well, we'll look at your basic movement patterns. So if you're picking something up from the floor, how are you going about it? We'll also look at how you're breathing. So often our breathing has changed, and actually getting a good core connection with our breathing can really help us get back that functionality within those abdominal muscles, because we often lose that because the abdominal muscles are just so stretched. And then we'll also look at how you're doing with pelvic floor exercises. So whilst I am not able to do internal checks of pelvic floors, you have to go to a women's health physio for that, which I do strongly advise because it's a fantastic thing to know how your pelvic floor is functioning. But we'll look at then how you can integrate pelvic floor function as well as breathing, as well as that sort of abdominal stimulation.
Mm.
And then from there, we'll kind of combine everything into a certain set of exercises. We'll also do a check for diastasis, which is where the six-pack muscles, they sort of come apart during pregnancy, which is completely normal because they were never stuck together in the first place. But we'll look at how they've come back together after you've had your baby. And for some people, they might need a little bit of extra help. For some people, after they've had their baby, their six-pack muscles might remain slightly apart. And it's generally not the gap that we're looking at. It's more sort of, as well, the tensile strength that you have in the abdominal fascia. So we'll sort of make an assessment as how has pregnancy affected your body? And it'll be sort of a top-to-toe assessment where we'll even look at arch position and whether, you know, pregnancy has given you flat feet. And from there, we will look at the different exercises. But I think often people think, right, okay, I've got a personal trainer. It's going to be sweaty. It's going to be, you know, where are the battle ropes? Where is all the sort of equipment? And actually, it's really important to take things slowly. And people are a bit like, oh, I'm going to do some breathing. Okay. And then we might do, you know, very gentle exercises just to make sure that we have the positioning of ribs and pelvis in an optimal way so that we can get that core connection before you even begin to start strengthening through that area.
And just to me, I mean, like breathing sounds so basic. Can you explain a bit about that? What is it that happens when you are pregnant that changes the breathing?
Well, everyone's very different, but what I have noticed is a lot of people during pregnancy, everything kind of gets moved around and pushed about. And so often we tend to breathe a lot more, so through the shoulders and through the upper part of the chest, because you can't, it's hard to get that full lung capacity when you are pregnant. So people continue with that way of breathing. And especially if you're feeding, regardless of whether you're feeding with a bottle or breastfeeding, there is that tendency to sort of hunch over as well. So again, that can also impact your breathing. Posture can impact breathing as well. And so we want to try and relearn how to take full breaths. And a lot of the times we're not breathing to our maximum ability. So what that means is sort of taking deep breaths, sending it down into the belly, letting that belly expand, looking at moving through the lower parts of the ribs, breathing into the spine as well, and just relaxing through those stomach muscles. Often we try and tense stomach muscles. You'll find a lot of people grip with their stomach muscles. They don't even realize they're doing it. So just coming to terms with your body and reconnecting with it. Because a lot of people, especially if you've had a C-section, they're a bit like, I have numbness down there. It doesn't feel like I can, it doesn't feel like it's my stomach anymore. So it's really important with that breathing as well, just to get it back into check. And it can also help reduce anxiety. Whenever you're breathing into the shoulders or the upper part of the chest, that causes extra tension. And it can actually increase sort of anxiety, and that's just not what you need.
And so if you're breathing in your chest and you're not using your stomach for your breath, like breathing into it, what does that do to your body apart from like general anxiety? Why is that a bad thing?
It essentially means that you are not getting as much oxygen potentially into your body as you could do. And taking those deep breaths in, and you're not necessarily using your stomach to breathe. It's sort of you're more using the diaphragm more, but it's if you breathe into the stomach, that helps draw the diaphragm down. But it's just about breathing in a way that's optimal for your body, and thinking about when you're breathing out, also drawing those abdominal muscles in together as well. So you're actually using more of the body. You're actually strengthening those stomach muscles as well. And the perfect example of how to breathe are babies. If you ever look at babies, it's always their bellies that kind of go up and down. They haven't got those stresses where they're breathing into the upper part of their chest yet. So if you ever want to know how to breathe, just watch a baby.
Oh, that's such a good tip. And so you have your baby and you come home from the hospital and you're told no exercise until that 6-week check. But what I found when I had C-section and I came home was that it just wasn't possible to be completely inactive and do nothing. And I was carrying, you know, the pram around and moving things and lifting my baby. What do you need to be aware of in those 6 weeks when you're carrying out those daily tasks?
The advice that you get given is to sort of rest up and not do a huge amount and only start exercise until after 6 weeks. But I think you have to relook at the term exercise, and actually almost everything that you're doing, as you said, in those first 6 weeks, there is an element of exercise in it. And the best thing that you can do for your body in those 6 weeks in order to sort of reduce your risk of injury is focus on the real basics. Focus on your sleep, focus on nutrition. And when you are lifting up heavy buggies, if you have the option, see if someone else can help you with it. But at the same time, focus on, I guess the best advice I have around this is for protecting things like your pelvic floor. And that will be for getting up off the ground and you're holding your baby, to think about pushing through both legs in a sort of lunge position and breathing out and gathering in that pelvic floor as you stand. As soon as you hold your breath whilst doing things, that's going to put pressure down that sort of midline of your stomach and also through the pelvic floor. And those are two areas which have been particularly affected by pregnancy and potentially also birth. So doing what you can to not put any extra pressure on that would be fantastic. And then also just thinking about your posture as well. I mean, everyone gets into this terrible posture where you're sort of hunched over, and I wouldn't necessarily say that's normal, but it's very common for that to happen. And so just looking at every now and again, just going, actually, can I do a posture check? Is this the optimal way for me to be sitting? Can I get my baby higher up so that the baby's coming to me rather than me hunching over to feed them? Thinking about when you're carrying things, trying to keep that back and neck nice and long, and trying to avoid rounding through the back when you're carrying heavy things. But at the same time, nobody is perfect. There's no such thing actually as a perfect posture. Posture isn't permanent. It's always changing, and it changes depending on our mood and our energy levels and how we're feeding. It can also change with what we're wearing and what we're doing. So I think just being mindful of the small little things that you can do is really helpful. And also looking at how you stand. Often we stand in a slightly slouchy position.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
So, you know, can you think about just drawing those ribs down? And, you know, it's nice to kind of roll the shoulders back, but you don't want to force anything, because that can cause just as much problems as, you know, if you are letting everything go and you're slouching. As well, think about how you're carrying your baby. We often tend to favour one hip than the other. And again, that can lead to sort of imbalances in the body, or more imbalances in the body, which can then sort of cause a little bit of dysfunction or pain in certain places. So switching things up, I guess it's just trying not to get stuck in one pattern of moving and just try to move in as many different ways as possible. So if you're sitting, try sitting on the floor, try sitting on a chair, sit on the sofa, mix everything up as much as you can.
And when you've had your 6 week or 8 week check, and let's say you're cleared for exercise.
I think when you think about what's the definition of exercise after you get to that 6 week check, it doesn't automatically mean that you've had the check and you can go off and, you know, jump straight back into your 5Ks or the CrossFit or whatever it is that you really enjoy. And I just, there was something that was on the NHS website that I looked up. It says on the NHS website, which I love the NHS and I think they're amazing, but I think it's slightly inaccurate when they say it's usually a good idea to wait until after your 6 week postnatal check before you start any high impact exercise such as aerobics or running. I've had many people come to me and be like, I've had my 6 week check and I went for a run and actually things just felt awful. And I was like, it doesn't mean that you can get back into things like that, especially for things such as running. You know, you have potentially taken several months, if not a lot longer, not running. So therefore getting back, like jumping straight back into running, isn't the best idea. Think about what you can do to strengthen the areas that have been weakened. Think about sort of, you know, focusing on that core stability and the single leg strength and actually building up to it. Because if you do go back into what you were doing before, you have a very different body. You have a body that's still going through the healing process. So even if you feel okay, and I think this is a problem, and I know I'm very guilty of this. If you've had a very straightforward birth and a great recovery, you go, I feel fine. Therefore, I must be fine. Therefore, why don't I just go for a run or, you know, to that fitness session? And there's a lot of healing that's still going on without you realizing it. And they say it takes about 2 years for your body to stop being affected by the sort of postnatal or the pregnancy hormones and everything that you've been through.
Yeah.
So it does take a lot longer than people think. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't go off and do some exercise, but build up to it. You know, you can increase your distances for walking. You can go and get to a mum and baby class. You can do some exercise at home. You can do, I've got an online coaching program that, you know, is really tailored to where a mum is at. So there's many, many different ways of doing it, but just look at starting out slowly and build things up. And often you need to take things more easy than you realise.
Yeah, and what happens if you go for these runs without having built up properly? Like, what are the, are there any risks with not taking the time and actually repairing your body fully before you go heavy into high impact exercise?
There can be risks for sure. The most common ones are issues with the Achilles tendon. There can also be issues with pelvic floor. A lot of people report back just saying, you know, it just didn't feel right. It felt like my hips weren't stable enough. And that's probably because they weren't. And you really sort of want to watch out for feelings of heaviness through the pelvic floor and any sort of leaking. So it is perfectly common and perfectly normal to have leaking in the first kind of couple of weeks after you've had your baby. But there should be a point where that stops. And a lot of people go, well, hang on a sec. You know, it's normal, right, for me to leak and to wee myself slightly because I've had a baby. And actually it's common, but it's not normal after a certain period of time. So if that does happen, it's, you know, a trip to the GP or go see a women's health physio. It's definitely worth trying to nip these things in the bud if you can.
Mm.
But I think most people will kind of go, actually, something doesn't feel right.
Mm.
But most common injuries are where, you know, knee problems or hip problems, things where it feels uncomfortable to run. Also, if you're breastfeeding, your boobs are massively weighty and it's important to wear the right supportive clothing.
Yeah, good point.
If that's something you really want to do,
mm.
or just time it so that you are getting out and doing things
mm.
after you've expressed or fed.
Many women, including me, are left, or yeah, definitely me. When I'd given birth, I was a bit shocked by, you know, my belly that was still looking very much pregnant. And I was super keen to get it back into its flat state. What do you recommend doing? Because I've read sit-ups are not the best form of exercise. But what should you be doing to kind of get your stomach to tighten up?
You know what? I think if there was one straight answer for this, I would be
a millionaire.
A billionaire.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it shocks me again. This is my third time round,
mm.
and I'm a bit just like, wow,
yeah.
hello. And it's something that's completely normal. But I think you have to understand, first of all, how your body has changed
mm.
in order to then kind of look at how you can sort of get to a place where you are happy with your body. And for some people, actually, you know, there'll be things that you just can't do. It's not a quick fix.
Mm.
You might not have the same body that you did before you were pregnant and had a baby. I know I definitely don't. I've got a lot more stretch marks
mm.
and there's sort of a lot of additional padding around there.
Mm.
But when you are pregnant, that abdominal fascia does stretch. And along with that, you know, the different abdominal muscles as well. So things to focus on would be re-strengthening the transverse abdominis, also known as TVA, which is sort of a bit of a corset-like muscle that mm. runs around your stomach, a bit like a belt. So again, that's where your breathing comes in. So breathing exercises can really work on that. Focusing on sort of when you're lying down and doing little leg lifts. It's hard to explain here, but very simple exercises that are really pinpointing your position of the pelvis and the ribs, how you're breathing, and those deep core muscles and engaging those is the best place to start. And that will just help re-strengthen. And then you can look at working on those more superficial muscles, such as the rectus abdominis, the six-pack muscles, and the obliques as well. But yeah, crunches and sit-ups aren't the best place to start mm. because generally when you're doing them, people tend to hold their breath. So I don't know if you ever noticed, you can do that thing where you go,
yeah.
Yes.
I get completely red.
Yes, exactly. Again, you're holding your breath, that increases the pressure internally,
mm.
which then doesn't necessarily help strengthen that
yeah.
abdominal wall or your pelvic floor because
mm.
you've got all the additional pressure on there. So there's a lot more sort of gentle exercises, which first of all, just help you reconnect with that core
mm.
and actually just be able to feel those stomach muscles again.
Because that's so true. I mean, I had this like bizarre feeling of actually not feeling my stomach or my core. I felt my legs and my upper body, but in the middle, it was like jelly. And it just was like my brain wasn't really firing with those muscles.
It's so true. You do lose that sort of body-mind connection,
yeah.
I think, especially around the stomach area. I mean, I know that, you know, I get very hopeful and I kind of just, I'll sort of press into my stomach and I'm like, oh no, they're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I think you have to trust that they are there.
Yeah.
They are there and they are working.
Yeah.
It's just they might not be as strong as they once were.
Mm.
Or you just might not have that mind-body connection
mm.
there as well. You might just not be able to feel them as much because they're not firing.
Yeah.
So getting that back is a real good way to sort of lay the foundation for building on that strength.
And is there a difference between if you've had a C-section or you've had a vaginally delivered baby? Like, do C-section moms need to wait longer or do different exercises or have a different approach to their recovery? Or does it depend on the individual or is it pretty similar?
The thing to look out for with C-section births is often you have scar tissue. So you'll have the incision, which you can see, and then there'll be scar tissue that will be sort of a bit more underneath it as well. Looking at things like scar tissue massage is really important because that will help break down that more inflexible tissue. So it's causing less restriction. So some women will report that they can feel a little bit of a pull when they're doing certain movements. And you don't want to be scared of moving your body. So taking that time to do the C-section, the scar tissue massage is really important. Mm. And again, there's videos online about that. I cover that in sort of my online coaching, and a women's health physio will also be able to help.
Mm.
And that can really, really, really help. There's also things to suggest that there might be a slightly slower recovery. So if you're, you know, looking to get back into running, I know that the abdominal fascia, the tensile strength on that is somewhere between 73 and 93% recovered at 6 months postnatal. And, you know, that goes to show that it's not quite back to what it was before. And for some women, it might take even longer. So be sort of, I guess, mindful of the exercises that you're doing.
So we've heard how important it is to do some exercise and how good it is for our mood and body. But how do you find the time to do it? Do you have any strategies that you advise your clients get it done?
First of all, I think you have to redefine what exercise for you means. So it's really common to kind of go, oh yeah, exercise. I'm going to go to an exercise class, or I'm going to spend an hour at the gym, or, you know, it's a very set thing, this sort of exercise. And you might not have that chance when you are a new mum. So it's how can you be creative with what you've got? And you've got to look at what your baby's like as well. So some babies are great. And like, you know, you can put them on a mat on the floor whilst you do some very gentle exercises. Or they'll be perfectly happy to be in a sling whilst you go to a postnatal exercise class. So it's just how your baby is. I mean, I've found that having a whole bunch of different tactics at my fingertips really helps and not defining a set time for an exercise period. So whether you can get 5 minutes in or 20 minutes or an hour, it actually doesn't matter. And it's just about what you can manage. And exercise should be something that is a priority because it helps you feel good as well as helps you with a faster recovery. But it shouldn't be something that you get too obsessive about. So if you plan for a 20-minute session and you only get 3 minutes in, it's cool. It's cool. There's so many different things that you can do. Walking, I think, is a fabulous one. And people always underestimate walking. I underestimated walking. And I just remember being like, oh, walking's not an exercise. And actually, as a mom, you just go, actually, this is great exercise because I'm getting outside, the baby sleeping. I can stop off and get a coffee or whatever it is. You know, that's the perks of it, and meet up with friends. But there's many different ways to fit it in. I used to do things where, you know, the little one would be sleeping next to me on the bed and I might get in a few glute bridges there or sort of little clams. So it's just things that you can fit in. And now there are lots of gyms as well that have crushes.
Oh yeah.
So that's nice. That's always a good way. If that's something that's important to you to get to a gym, then that is another way around it.
And doesn't matter if you do, because I felt like it with nap times, it was sometimes, and they would wake up unexpectedly and, you know, your exercise class or whatever I was doing online, I was halfway through. Is it okay to split things up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's more about not pushing things when it might be more stress to keep going on. So if you're halfway through an exercise class and your baby wakes up, you're going to go and see them. There's no kind of two ways round it. So with that, just don't fret and be like, okay, well, you know, I've got half of it done. That's great. The fact I've got any done is good enough. You have to sort of focus on, I think, replacing the expectation for appreciation. And being like, yes, 5 minutes of exercise in the bag. Awesome. It's like today I really wanted to walk here. Because I've set myself a goal of 8,000 steps a day. And I was like, oh, that'd be great. I'll bank some steps in. but actually it wasn't going to happen. So I can't get too stressed about it. And I wasn't going to force it. And I didn't want to turn up a massive sweaty mess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was on the bus and I could always go, okay, well, I can walk back.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And if I don't hit those 8,000 steps, then I'm not going to get too stressed about it. It's all good.
Some very wise words. And I think a lot of moms need to hear that, because there are a lot of new things when you have a baby and a lot of additional pressures, and then adding, you know, strict exercise targets on top of that.
Absolutely. I think I've also noticed that when I've run group classes, people get incredibly stressed out, or they don't even come because they're worried that their babies are going to cry or need attention, and it's going to upset the rest of the people in the class. And actually, you don't know what your baby's going to be like. So give it a go, see what happens. Worst case scenario is it's just not for you or your baby.
Yeah.
And you leave halfway through. The instructor's not going to get upset. But very likely they will know, because they'll have been through it themselves, or they'll understand. And, you know,
all the other mums will know.
Well, this is it, right? Your baby is loudest to you. Like, I do not hear other babies cry.
Yeah.
Whereas when my baby's crying, I'm like, oh, they're so loud. And, you know, just stop crying. But, you know, in these classes, everyone is there just, you know, just doing what they can. So don't be put off by going to group classes. Just go, see what happens, take it easy, feed if you need to. I'm sure that the instructors will have set it up so that it's a very informal class where you can do that. You should never have to feel bad that your baby's crying or needs a feed or needs a nappy change.
And with those very wise words, we are coming to an end. Thank you very much, Eliza. I think that's been super helpful.
Thank you.
I definitely should have looked up some of the things before I started my post-baby routine. But yeah, no, it's been excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Caspian. I have enjoyed it very much.
Oh, good.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.